The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So maybe he gets a little bit extra rest time. The indication comes out because it was touch and go, Kevin, if he was going to start anyway with the full weeks of practice.
The odds, though, for that week one game against Seattle have started to creep back towards the Seahawks' favor. I think this news having something to do with that. Rookie quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, Trey Lance, sidelined for 7 days. They've interestingly been very exact that it is 7 days, not about a week, not maybe a week. 7 days for Trey Lance with a small chip in his finger. Going to cost him a week of practice.
Advantage Jimmy Garoppolo in this one, but I think we could both agree. We thought Garoppolo was going to start the season regardless, but this just makes it a little bit easier. Maybe the fans clamoring for Trey Lance to get a start week one. Hey, guys, look, he's injured. We're not going to rush this young kid along. Jimmy's going to take the reins, and if they get out hot San Francisco, Jimmy is going to have those reins here, Kevin.
No doubt about it. One more NFL headline for us amid some, you know, obviously all of the weather concerns. Saints-Packers could very well be on the move week one. Green Bay right now is a road favorite of -3, but this very well, Donnie, could turn into a neutral site game.
Yeah, maybe back in Dallas, which is actually where the New Orleans Saints are practicing here post-hurricane. It looks like the power grid is a little bit messed up, to be understated, in New Orleans, as just about everywhere was out with power. But if they do get that turned on, see if they can turn it around, because the key ingredient here, the last time we saw a big-time hurricane come through, it did some damage to the Superdome. Looks like no damage to the Dome outside of no power at the Dome, Kevin.
Yeah, hopefully, again, all, you know, going through Hurricane Ida, okay. We'll obviously keep everybody posted, though, on situations like this for games that are supposed to be played in that area, whether it be being canceled like last weekend's Saints preseason game or, again, potentially being shifted around. Switching over to Major League Baseball, Shohei goes yard, a crucial home run in a close victory for the LA Angels over the New York Yankees. We bring the radio audience into the fold. We thanks all those who are listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Tuesday morning. Donnie, Shohei goes yard, home run number 42 of the season.
Come on, 8 more to go. Shohei got basically a month left in the regular season. The only job for the Angels to get Shohei 50 home runs, keep him in that leadoff position, keep swinging from your heels, but also lost in all of this, Kevin. A huge winning streak by the Yankees? Could we see a huge losing streak from the Yankees?
Let's hope not. Let's hope not, but it wouldn't be surprising. Corbin Burnes, Donnie, trying to hunt down Walker Buehler for an NL Cy Young, gets a crucial road victory against the always difficult team with the best record in Major League Baseball, San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, doing it old school, as I like to say, with the Brewers. You win with a really good pitching, timely hitting, and a very good bullpen. 3-1 victory over the Giants. That is a nice win there, and maybe after a victory also by the Dodgers, moving them up closer in the standings. We keep saying it. It's been a while. You know, 2 months, 3 months, we've been saying it is going to be an awesome finish to the season in the West, and I do believe that's going to become true. But, hey, kudos to the Brewers. Going out, beating a really good baseball team on the road, 3-1.
Yeah. No doubt about it. How about the Tampa Bay Rays? Again, winning their 8th consecutive game, taking one off of the Boston Red Sox, who are now dealing with some COVID issues of their own. We mentioned the Yankees lost to the Angels. And right now, the Rays' lead in the AL East sits at a full 7 games.
It's amazing. Go ahead, Rays. Who knows who their starting pitchers are? Who knows who their lineup is? Nobody knows who their bullpen is. But here they are sitting well atop the standings in the AL East, and rightfully so. Big-time win yesterday over the Red Sox. Even if, Kevin, they struggled with runners in scoring position over the first 5 innings, it's still a nice win by the Rays.
They certainly did. Last headline here from the college football world. Texas is going to give the starting job to Hudson Card, but not officially. Seems like Casey Thompson will also be getting reps in their opener against Louisiana here. Interesting that they've not been able to sort down a 100% starter with Texas.
As the old saying goes, Kevin, if you have two starting quarterbacks, you have none. Make a decision. Stand by, kid. Give him confidence. Don't have him looking over his shoulder. It doesn't work when you have two quarterbacks. Name a starter. Ride with that starter, Kevin.
Not an easy opponent. A ranked opponent in Louisiana to open this season. Could be very interesting. We'll talk about it all and more right here on The Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on The Early Line. It is a jam-packed Tuesday edition. We'll start things off, though, with our NFL division previews. This will put us at the midway point as we are going to go to the division that, of course, is holding the reigning Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The NFC South, the Bucs are favorites to win this division. Minus 240, something they did actually not do last season. The Saints won that division. They no longer have Drew Brees. The Falcons are plus 850. The Panthers are 12-1. You know, yesterday, Donnie, we went over the AFC West. It feels like a comparable conversation here about whether or not any of these teams can actually catch the Bucs.
You're right. And this is one of those divisions, as you said, it's, you know, top heavy at this point. And I guess there would have been value to me, Kevin, a few weeks ago when taking a look at the New Orleans Saints at the FanDuel Sportsbook here sitting at a plus 440 to win the NFC South. Obviously, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming in a minus 240 clip, and deservedly so. When you look at Tampa Bay, it's hard to be back-to-back champions in any sport. But if you're going to start with, hey, let's bring every single player back and pay them all so they're all happy, that's a pretty good start here to the 2021 season, at least the offseason for Tampa Bay. Seemingly coming through the preseason healthy at this point. But I take a look at the New Orleans Saints because I think we can agree Atlanta Falcons are way off, and so are the Carolina Panthers. Just trying to build up, you know, relatively new coaching staffs. Obviously a brand new one for the Falcons, and Matt Rhule getting another run for the Carolina Panthers here. I like the future of those organizations based on those two head coaches. But 2021, maybe not the year. But when you take a look at the Saints, Michael Thomas being healthy game one, that would have been huge. I love the offensive line for the New Orleans Saints. I love the fact Jameis Winston is now the starting quarterback and Taysom Hill can revert back to his role that he plays so well. Short yardage packages, red zone packages. And if you had Michael Thomas on the outside coupled with Alvin Kamara coming out of the backfield, that's the perfect storm. And also, Kevin, you play in New Orleans. Now, we'll see how quickly they get back there if they can even play game one versus the Green Bay Packers. But that's one of the elite home field advantages in all of football. They just don't lose specifically even in big games in prime time down in the dome. So you look at that plus 440 number and say, let's take a swing because I don't want to pay the minus 240. I need to see a little bit more out of the New Orleans Saints over the first month to see exactly what I'm getting. Because is this one of those things, Kevin, if they can hang around with the Bucs and then by week 7 or 8, Michael Thomas comes back and he is healthy, back to his all-pro levels, this is one of those teams to watch, Kevin, during the back half of the season where they can really make a charge once Jameis Winston is comfortable, the health status of the football team. But again, getting back to Michael Thomas, one of the best wide receivers in the game, that's only going to help when he gets back.
I know there are some folks out there who are looking to maybe take a long shot on Jameis Winston to win MVP. It's a long shot. Now, again, you want to take a swing in that market, 50-1, fine. What I will tell you is a bet that has a significantly better chance to win, but is also going to give you a pretty incredible payout, is Sean Payton at 22-1 to win the NFL Coach of the Year. They win this division, he's going to have an incredible chance. And if Jameis plays anywhere near the level that you folks who have high expectations for Jameis, a lot of the credit is going to go to probably the doctor who successfully gave him LASIK surgery, and then Sean Payton. So I think when we talk about some of those Coach of the Year numbers that we've gone through, Donnie, that is one that really jumps out to me. When you look at this division as a whole, though, part of the reason why I see that number where you have, you know, near minus 250 price on the Tampa Bay Bucks, and I don't disagree with it, is I don't think the division is all that good. I don't buy Atlanta. I don't buy Carolina. Are you higher or lower on those two teams with win totals both checking in at 7.5?
It's interesting because if I had, if let's just say if we had Teddy Bridgewater wasn't good for Carolina, and that's how I want to preface it. But if a guy like Teddy Bridgewater was coming back to a better football team, which I do think Carolina is, I would be a little bit higher on them than the Atlanta Falcons. But the fact that Sam Darnold, and he's an ultra talent, he was drafted at the top end of the draft, basically left for dead in New York, so rejuvenated. I don't think he lost his skill set, but I'm just not energized by what I'm seeing or what I expect to see out of the offense for the Carolina Panthers. But moving up to the Atlanta Falcons, Calvin Ridley at wide receiver. Obviously, Pitts was a great pick at tight end. We'll see if he can transform that offense. And you still have Matt Ryan, who the arm strength seems to wane as the years go by, but you still have a good wide receiver in Calvin Ridley. If I would look at those two prices, 850 and 1200, I do think the Falcons are in a better spot just because I think you're going to get a more even-keel quarterback position out of Matt Ryan. Now, does that lead to victories? Because we take a look at the team totals here. Tampa Bay, 11.5, the Saints, 9, the Falcons, 7.5, and the Panthers, 7.5. Now, the only difference between those two juiced prices at the FanDuel Sportsbook is minus 135 on the Falcons at 7.5 and a plus 110 at the 7.5 for the Carolina Panthers. Getting to the 8 games, who I think can do that, I don't want to say easily, because both of them aren't going to get there easily, but I do trust the Falcons a little bit more as I do the Carolina Panthers here, Kevin.
Here's my thing on the Carolina Panthers. We don't have perfect catch-all stats in the NFL. We don't really maybe have them in any sports, but QBR, passer rating, typically the two that you will hear brought up. There were 33 qualified quarterbacks for QBR, 35 qualified quarterbacks for passer rating. Flip a coin, whichever one you prefer, Sam Darnold ranked dead last in both of them. There's this big expectation that Sam Darnold is going to go out there and have this big season in Carolina because everything is Adam Gase's fault, except for the fact that the Jets' offense looked better with Joe Flacco as opposed to having Sam Darnold in it. I don't believe in Sam Darnold. I look at the schedule. It doesn't line up all that favorably. Yes, they're week one favorites against the Jets. I guess they'll be road dogs at Houston. That is a Thursday night football game. And one thing, Donnie, I know you believe hard line. You're playing Thursday night football. You either bet the home team or you don't bet that football game there. You look at the back end of the schedule, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Tampa Bay. I don't know where the wins are towards the back end there. I think a Carolina under 7.5 is incredibly live there. Yes, there's good weaponry. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Terrence Marshall Jr. out of LSU. If you get McCaffrey, I don't think there's a better running back in this league if he's going to be available for you for a full slate of games here. But the defense, the secondary, I still have massive question marks here. There's folks that are buying up the Carolina Panthers because they like Matt Rhule, they like Joe Brady, and those things can be true. But if Sam Darnold's going to be the quarterback of this team, Donnie, I'm not going to be buying in.
Yeah, and you also, you know, you have a running back who's one of the most dominant players in the game in Christian McCaffrey. We'll see how he comes back from his injury, basically wiping out his entire 2020 season. But you are right. A lot of people putting that stock in Matt Rhule, and that would be a disappointment, Kevin, to be honest. If the Panthers end up winning 6 games this year, that's not exactly the direction that we were taking a look at, because Matt Rhule is a program builder. Gets the foundation started and then slowly builds and adds floor by floor by floor until he turns out to have a pretty good program. We saw it at Baylor. We saw it at Temple. That can be done. So when we're looking from a, you know, season-to-season maturation process of a football team, I'm looking for the Panthers to take that next step. Now, again, the next step probably is not going to be the playoffs, but that could change a lot. If Darnold turns into the quarterback we thought he would be coming out of USC, Christian McCaffrey is healthy. That's a really good 1-2 punch. Now, maybe the ultimate downfall, I like their defense. I think their secondary is okay as a whole, and I do think they're going to have a very good pass rush, which obviously, as we know, is the key to victory. You win on both lines. Here's the issue, Kevin. They can rush the passer. The only question is, can they stop somebody from rushing their own passer? That's going to be key here. If Darnold can stay upright and not see quote-unquote ghosts this season, maybe they can turn it around.
That obviously would be crucial. To circle back on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and up next we'll talk about the props market for the season long, and there's a zillion options for the Tampa Bay Bucs. Their win total is 11.5, heavily juiced to the over. It's easy to see why. Again, you go through this Bucs schedule at the Rams, probably the only game you could really see them being dogs in. They're able to host Buffalo, maybe a dog in Indianapolis, probably not. This is a schedule that does line up favorably for Brady and company to continue to have a very strong season off of a Super Bowl victory. We'll continue to break down the NFC South next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Before we break down some more of the NFC South action, I want to let everybody know that you have to make sure you go over to Twitter, follow us at Sports Grid, as well as at Sports Grid TV. Keep up to date with everything that we've got going on over here on the grid. The most up-to-date information and betting advice that you need can be found at Sports Grid, as well as at Sports Grid TV. Let's keep things moving here. And Donnie, before we get to the props, again, there's a lot of Bucks props. I know there was some unfinished business for you as it pertains to this Bucks win total with that 11.5 heavily juiced to the over.
This could really go two ways, because when you're taking a look at Kevin, the Super Bowl champion, and if we're looking at a normal 16-game season, you hang that 11.5 minus 150, ooh, that could be interesting. But now you have a 17-game schedule, which means 12-5 gets that done. And again, I repeat this, a lot of time with Super Bowl champions, you get fat and happy. I don't think Brady's going to do that down there. I think he has a pretty good reign in on that team. You've seen, you know, Bruce Arians going around, you know, basically red in the face, getting his team ready to play football and getting vaccinated. So I think they're going to take this football season serious as is. But everybody, as I said on the opening, Kevin, we did the 7-7. Everybody's paid. Everybody's happy. Every single player is back. And that division doesn't look all that tough. But when you look at the schedule here, Dallas Cowboys at home, perfect. They should be able to win that football game. Atlanta Falcons at home, they should be able to win that football game. But take a look at the next stretch of games here. At the Rams, at the Patriots, home to the Dolphins, and then you say at the Eagles, that should be a win. But you know me, Kevin. What am I looking at in that game? Not the actual line, not how good the two football teams are, but you see an at and a Thursday, October 14th, which means that football team and Tom Brady are going to play possibly. I didn't look at the schedule for them on the Eagles on the rebound, but possibly coming right off that game on Sunday, then playing right on Thursday. And if the Eagles are home that week, which I don't have the schedule up, that is a huge advantage for the Philadelphia Eagles. Then you come off, you should beat the Bears, but then you get the Saints week 8. And why is week 8 important? We talked about Michael Thomas coming off that PUP list after 7 weeks. That's week 8 in the dome. So if they can navigate this first part of the schedule, the Rams, the Patriots, the Dolphins, Eagles, Bears, and Saints, and somehow, you know, hold that to 2 losses or less, they're going to get that 11.5 for me, Kevin.
The thing with the Bucs that gets so lost in them winning the Super Bowl is Tom Brady was garbage for the first 3 games of the postseason. His completion percentage was 55%. He threw 3 picks in the Green Bay game and played probably the worst half of football that any quarterback did last year during the postseason. But their defense was unbelievable. And if their defense can remain at that level, then there's nothing to worry about here. This Bucks team had a very fascinating season last year where they had a late bye week, played a joke of a Final Four games, and were able to get victories in all four of them. And they were able to carry that momentum into a postseason run that landed themselves in the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. And Brady was good in the Super Bowl here. The Bucks are a team, though, that as the favorites in the NFC, I can't bet them at those numbers. I won't bet them at those numbers. We'll see how things play out through the year. But I think you're right, Donnie. It lines up where if they start strong, they should be able to finish strong. Again, their final three games, Carolina, the Jets, and Carolina again. You're talking about touchdown favorites for the final three games, no doubt about it. Let's transition, though, to some of these props here, Donnie, because we don't have Brady yards. We do have Brady touchdowns, but we have a yards props here when you talk about the wide receivers for the Bucs on all of them. And we've got Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski. Any pass catchers for Tampa Bay jumping off of the page for you?
Yeah, I mean, probably with the pass catchers, if you're looking, there's a lot of mouths to feed. And sometimes that's going to be tough to deal with where guys need to get their yards. But it seems like these guys always get their yards. And even particularly last year, as you saw down the stretch, hey, we got to get Mike Evans his 1,000 receiving yards to keep the streak alive. Why is that important? 2014, 1051, 2015, 1206, 2016, 1321, 2017, 1001, 2018, 1524, 2019, 1157, and last year, once again, 1006 yards. What does that tell you? He's going to be right around that 1,000-yard number, and if he is a little bit off, Kevin, do you know what they're going to do again? It's very important to keep streaks alive. They're going to make sure he gets to that 1,000-yard marker, but you need a little bit more than that to cash in that ticket. Of all the wide receivers on Tampa Bay that I would trust the most, and again, you have to stay healthy. We understand that. 1,025 yards on a 17-game season for Mike Evans, that's where I'm going because I do believe in streaks, and you want to keep them alive. So if he's 350 yards away, Kevin, with two games to play, you know who's got him? Yeah. Tom Brady's got him, and he'll get there.
You're absolutely right on that. The one guy who I would like to bet, and I don't know if I can do this because, again, this is season long, and you need to be available all year long, which means you cannot get suspended, is Antonio Brown. But to me, Donnie, if Antonio Brown, if you told me Antonio Brown plays 17 games, I will absolutely bet his over prop. I think he could get to 1,000 yards. I'm not all that sure he's still not the most talented pass catcher on this football team. In his 8 games of work with the Bucs during the regular season, he averaged 60 yards a game. That's on pace for a 1,000-yard season. His number checking in sub 800. It would not surprise me if Antonio Brown was the leading pass catcher on the Bucs this season. That is how talented of a football player he is. The decision that I'll have to make, and you at listening and watching will have to make, is whether or not there's enough trust that Antonio Brown will actually be out there for a full season. He's fighting during training camp already. We'll certainly have to see. But moving through, Donnie, on a larger scale, you also have a couple of Panthers options and a couple of Falcons options. No Saints options. That's what happens when Michael Thomas isn't available. You've got DJ Moore. You've got Robbie Anderson. Calvin Ridley, the big dog now with Julio out. And, of course, rookie tight end Kyle Pitts with some interesting numbers.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to go with a rookie because you don't know how he's going to assimilate himself to the National Football League. But I think this is a guy from a talent perspective that should get multiple opportunities as long as he's healthy. I think Pitts at over 800 does make a little bit of sense here. But some of the other guys, you know, the numbers that stick out, and the reason why we take a look at these overall statistics in the AFC South, like Mike Evans stuck out, 1,025, he usually gets 1,000 yards. I think that'll be taken care of. I can see your point on Antonio Brown if he's healthy for 17 games, because also you have to remember how a team functions. If you say, all right, Antonio Brown, you're not going to be part of the game plan for two straight weeks, you will lose him for the entire season. And Tom Brady knows that. You need to get him 50 to 60 to 70 yards a game, you know, a couple red zone targets to keep that guy healthy just for the sanity of the football team. But as I'm looking down, DJ Moore, 1225 for the season. Can he get there? Sure. Joe Brady down at the plays. I get it. Sam Darnold, if he's hot. And again, you're also talking about a football team that's not anticipated to be favorites in a majority of their football games, which means they'll be losing in the fourth quarter. It's always nice to have a wide receiver in that respect. Mm-hmm. Seems a little high. Robbie Anderson around that 900 range. That feels about right. Home run hitter. We can see him, Kevin, right? Couple games, 175 yes. yards because he's catching 75 or 80 yard streaks for touchdowns. But Calvin really at 1375. That really seems a little bit elevated for me because no longer under the cover of daylight do you have Julio Jones getting double and triple covered on the opposite side. He's expected to be the man. Is he a very good wide receiver? I get it. But you're going to need close to 1,400 yards, Kevin, to cash in that ticket. I'm not really too much a believer in that aspect. But tight end position, Pitts at 800, I think that's a doable number for the rookie tight end in Atlanta.
I will say on Ridley, the 10-1 number for him for the most regular season receiving yards is something that I would absolutely be okay with people playing. He got to 1374 last year with Julio still in town. I know Julio was banged up, but again, basically the reason he got there is because Julio was banged up. Ridley is going to have a monster season as long as health does provide. He was regularly getting over 100 yards when Julio was not around for this football team. I think Robbie Anderson, Donnie, actually brings some real legitimate chance to get over that number. Had it that over 1,000 last season. And look, I know it's easy, but he's played with Sam Darnold before. And I don't think that's insignificant with him being the low man when you look through that number there. Before we get to the running backs, Donnie, and we can probably even carry it over if we need to, Darnold, Matt Ryan props. Again, no Jameis props, which is unfortunate, but that's going to be the case because, you know, they don't know what to do with the quarterback battle. Anything on Darnold? Anything on Matt Ryan for their season-long numbers?
I'll tell you, it's pretty intriguing. Because when you take a look at Matt Ryan, I think that's right on par, that 4,500 yards. Because, again, he's a veteran quarterback. He's not going to be scared. They got him some, you know, of talent because he's a rookie or has never started before. They're going to be playing from behind in a lot of football games. They play in a dome. They play in the AFC South. You're going to get some pretty good weather. Not worried about going to New England or, you know, playing eight games in New England or what have you, or in Green Bay. So I think that works to his advantage. The interesting one, though, is Sam Darnold. Because if we take a look at what he is supposed to do this year, when we say, do you have your franchise guy? Do you know what that means for Sam Darnold? That means he's going to be playing football for 17 weeks to decide if he is the future of that franchise. And if he does play 17 weeks, Kevin, you have to throw for 3,850 yards, right? In a 17-game season, that is a very intriguing prop. Just for the fact is, if he plays decent football, they need to find out exactly what they have. And if you're going to throw for around 250 yards a game and be able to cash in that ticket, that makes a lot of sense to me because also the same thing I just talked about with Atlanta, they're not going to be favored in a majority of their football games for the Carolina Panthers. That means extra chances in the fourth quarter when they're down.
When we're going over the player props, one thing that I like to keep handy with me will be, a certain fantasy analyst statted out projections for a season. It's a nice little baseline thing to have. Sam Darnold, by one person, is projected to throw for 4,500 yards, about 700 Ooh. More than the number, Ooh. And I still can't CLP. Bet it over. Sam Darnold has only played 13 games at max in his first three seasons in the NFL. Behind an awful offensive line, I don't even trust him to be out there enough. I can't touch the Darnold numbers, even if there's maybe some value. Up next, hot or not, but we'll also close out the NFC South running backs right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on the early line. NFC South running back props before we get to hot or not. A lot of good guys here, Donnie. McCaffrey and Kamara, obviously the headliners. Some Rojo numbers, as well as Mike Davis, who goes from Carolina to Atlanta.
Yeah, the interest. I do think two of these are interesting because if you take a look at run CMC, 1,200 yards. Should he be able to get that for the Carolina Panthers? I do believe he gets that. But I think there's some better value on the table here. Alvin Kamara, 950 yards. I think that makes some sense here, but will he be used more as a satellite running back where he's going to be running routes until Michael Thomas gets back and maybe he doesn't rack up the rushing yards or maybe some rushing touchdowns? But the two guys that you probably wouldn't be looking on your list to say, hey, these guys can have big seasons. Well, the thing is, Kevin, we don't need to have big seasons. We just need to have some average seasons. And we're talking about Mike Davis here for the Atlanta Falcons. Great running back by any means? No. Has never rushed for over 642 yards in a season, which, oh yeah, came last year. But the fact is, there's not much in the backfield for the Atlanta Falcons. So if we're taking a look at a Mike Davis prop, 47 yards per game to be averaged over 17 weeks, I think that does make some sense. But the prop that I like the best overall, Kevin, from the running back position here in the AFC South, that's Ronald Jones, the most talented running back in the backfield for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the same way where I talk about, hey, I need extra opportunities in the fourth quarter from my quarterback since our team's going to be losing, or a wide receiver since, once again, our team will be losing, the same thing on the flip side for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If we expect them to have a good season, win 12 or more games, they're going to be favored in a majority of those games, Kevin, which means they will be up in the fourth quarter to salt the lead away. Ronald Jones' season prop, 725. He got 978 last year. 42 yards per game with the lead. Sign me up here, Kevin. Sign me up for Ronald Jones going over that number.
And I'll add to that, if you go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers website and go through their depth chart, Rojo is listed as the starting running back. And all you need is about an even split, by the way, to get to the number that Donnie's talking about. Rojo had, of the three playoff games that he was available for, he got to 60-plus yards in two of them. And you don't need anywhere near 60 yards a game for Rojo. So I think it's a great point there. I'll just bring up McCaffrey to have the most rushing touchdowns at plus 850 is not a bad look. 15 touchdowns in 2019. He had five in three games last year. McCaffrey stays healthy. He's the best running back in football at plus 850. He could certainly make some sense. He has an over-under of 11.5. Derrick Henry's over-under is 10.5, and he's the favorite in the market. Doesn't check out. There might be a little bit of juice there on McCaffrey. Let's keep things moving, though. Let's go to hot or not. And it sets up nicely because it keeps us within the NFC South to start here, Donnie. For the New Orleans Saints, there is a potential chance that their home opener will not actually be at home against the Green Bay Packers. Now, the Packers are three-point road favorites regardless. But hot or not, there's value on that number amid rumors of this game switching locations.
Yes, there is value on that. And I'm going to say that's absolutely hot. Now, I do think even if the game gets played in the Superdome with a packed house, Green Bay Packers should be able to win this game by a field goal or more. But now if we're taking a look at moving it out, now they're not going to play this game in Green Bay. Sean Payton said as much. Say, hey, there's a really good chance that we won't be playing week one at home. But I can tell you right now, we're not going to move this game to Green Bay for a de facto home game. So maybe looking at some, you know, Tampa Bay, Miami, but I think the one that's closest, that the two closest, I should say, probably Houston and Dallas make the most sense. And keep in mind, the New Orleans Saints did relocate to Dallas and are practicing in AT&T Stadium right now. But even more so, Kevin, of not playing in front of your home crowd, there's a lot more that goes into this psychologically. Is my house okay? Is my family okay? Did everybody make it out? You know, how long is it going to be to rebuild? Can I even get home to get some of my personal items for my property, or is it completely destroyed? You're away from your families now in Dallas. That's a lot to weigh on your minds getting ready to play a football game. I believe you saw a couple of interviews from the New Orleans Saints players basically saying so much, hey, I can replace a house, a car, you know, some of my items. I just want to make sure my family is okay. And if that's weighing on you as you're trying to get ready for opening day, playing on the road and living out of a hotel room, that's kind of tough because Green Bay knows, Kevin, they were playing on the road regardless. Where they play doesn't matter to them. But if you ask them their opinion, hey, take that game out of the dome. Let's go play in Dallas where you're not going to have a home field advantage whatsoever. I do think there is value on that minus three here, Kevin, for the Green Bay Packers.
And if the game is not played in New Orleans, the three won't be three. 4.5 to 5 to 5.5. Because, again, we've talked about it, but with the way where we are now in this year. We're supposed to have fans back in the building. Home field advantage back to mattering more than ever. And if that is going to be taken away from the New Orleans Saints, it's going to matter as it pertains to that point spread there. And the one thing that is noteworthy with the way the Saints schedule lines up is the home opener is Green Bay. They're on the road then at Carolina as well as in at New England. They're not back home until October 3rd. And in fact, there are only two games slated to be played in the Dome before Halloween. So they might be more willing to make that move and make sure everything is A-OK for two home games and then be off and running smooth sailing by the time that they're able to get back there when they play Tampa Bay week 8 at home. So it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they do move that football game and it presents some value on that Green Bay number. Continuing to move throughout Hot or Not here, we mentioned in our top headlines, Texas quarterback battle. It looks like there's a winner, but not definitively here. And we've seen this at the collegiate level before. What's so concerning to me and giving away a little bit here is the fact that they're playing a ranked opponent to open the season. But let me ask you, Donnie, hot or not, it's concerning that Texas has not committed to a full-time starter.
For game one, it's not hot because they should be able to roll out their helmets and beat Louisiana in week one. But for the season, it's you can't do this. I never understand the psychology of this because when you pick, you know, a competition in camp where somebody has to win this or somebody has to be a step ahead of the guy behind them, you say, all right, I'm going to give them even 50-50 plays. We're going to go over 30 days, and throughout camp, we're going to see who the better quarterback is. The fact that they're like, well, you know, this guy's going to come in, but, you know, the other guy's going to replace him. We'll go every other series or every two series and rotate him back and forth. You can't do that with young kids particularly because you're always looking over your shoulder. So if I get in the first series and I have a play quarterback that's like, hey, you know what? It's 3rd and 5. I have the check down for 6 yards to possibly get a first down, but I have one-on-one coverage on the outside. Boy, I really would like to show coach I can make this 75-yard completion for a touchdown and show I'm the starter. It's the same way if you did it at running back. Hey, we don't have a starting running back. We're going to rotate these guys basically every play. So if a play is designed to go through the A gap and say, hey, keep this in close here, get those 4 yards, or you say, hey, I'm going to show coach and bounce this one all the way outside to see if I can pick up a first down all by myself. I don't understand the competition part of this during a game because players are going to want to make big plays even if they're not there to try to impress their football coach. Have a starter. Trust the starter. If he struggles in the game, put the other kid in. But you can't have a rotating system where you're saying to your starting quarterback who leads, this is my job to keep. I got to make big splash plays in order to stay here. I can't stand the fact you either have two quarterbacks, Kevin. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Pick a starter, stick with the kid.
There was a game that Notre Dame had played where they couldn't figure out who their starting quarterback was. This was a couple years back, I believe, against Texas, and they just kept rotating them series after series in the season opener. One of the most insane things I've ever seen. It's a terrible way to go about playing football. And where I'll disagree with you, Donnie, is that Texas can roll their helmets out there and beat Louisiana. One, Texas has not earned the right to say that about any team. Two, Louisiana is a top. Yeah, we'll find out. When Texas isn't back until they lose to a non-ranked Big 12 team. That's when Texas is officially back. Louisiana finished top 25 last year. They beat Iowa State in their season opener. Their only loss was by 3 to a Coastal Carolina team that finished top 15. So we're going to go out here and play Hudson Card, Casey Thompson. And what's so odd, and I almost want to like do a little spin zone and maybe say it's good for the Hudson Card thing, is Casey Thompson, not Hudson Card, was the quarterback that stepped in for an injured Sam Ellinger in the Alamo Bowl against Colorado and went 8 of 10 for 170 yards and 4 touchdowns and didn't actually win this job. So either that says a world about Hudson Card or Steve Sarkisian doesn't have this thing right. It's not a great start to the year in my eyes for Texas football here. I have another one that I want to get to, but there's a story that I know Donnie really wants to talk about here. And I want to make sure that we get to that story because it's an important one. Because if the phone rings, it very well could be this school calling Donnie to play football for them at a moment's notice. Bishop Sycamore. And Donnie, you'll have to explain the situation a little bit to the people to get them fully caught up here. But I thought I phrased this in a nice way. Hot or not, Bishop Sycamore should play all of their games on TV.
I mean, you want to? I'll take it another step further. You want to save the Big 12, Kevin? You put Bishop Sycamore in the Big 12 and put them on TV, and you got something out here. Now, very rarely does stuff like this come along that we can all enjoy, because you see the ESPN showcase games where they come out, and it's like, okay, you know, you see the better kids, because the profile of the game usually is, hey, we're going to Tennessee, we're going to Ohio, we're going to Florida, because these teams have four and five players that are going Division One. That's the whole showcase of this, and hey, good football players moving on to the next level. People want to watch that stuff. But the simple fact that Bishop Sycamore made it to TV by playing kids that are older than high school, playing on 48 hours notice after they just played another high school football team. And the best part about it is nobody knows who they are, where they came from, and are they even an Ohio school? Basically an online academy of junior college dropouts, where just about everybody on that football team wasn't even of legal age to play high school football. So you say to yourself, all right, I didn't watch this game. What did they do? Win 72-0 and really beat up on these high school kids? No, it was a role reversal. They got absolutely destroyed. And midway through the telecast on ESPN, you had the commentators questioning why we're watching this football game and how it ended up on our TVs. A 30 for 30 is coming. Maybe a movie is coming at this point. A completely fraudulent school played on national television, and nobody knows how this was actually done, Kevin. Sensational TV.
It's all impossible to understand. All of it. The fact that they're apparently not a real school at all. The fact that they had a game before the IMG game. The fact that they're older than the IMG kids and got absolutely obliterated by IMG. The fact that ESPN did zero research into the game. The fact that apparently IMG had played Bishop Sycamore in the past and absolutely routed them. How did any of this happen? How did any of this happen? I can't imagine IMG is over the moon that they were out there playing a bunch of JUCO kids who are not from a real school. Maybe they are because their kids feel better about themselves here. But the one thing I'll say is, as much as, let's be honest here, ESPN got embarrassed by this situation, they must embrace this in some way, Donnie. You're right. Whether it's the 30 for 30, whether it's that 7.5 minute Sunday special before NFL kickoff, whatever it is, all of your Bishop Sycamore content needs to be worked on immediately because people love the Bishop Sycamore. I might get a Bishop Sycamore hat and send one over to Donnie.
I'm telling you, and also, another key caveat here, the head coach coaching the game for Bishop Sycamore has an active warrant out for his arrest, so it only gets better there. Tremendous stuff coming from you. That's maybe the highest rated game they put on their network over the weekend and will be watched repeatedly because of all the nonsense there. Fantastic stuff, ESPN. Thank you for that.
Bishop Sycamore versus UConn.
By the way, Bishop Sycamore. No Bishop named Sycamore. None. Oh, well.
Oh, Bishop Sycamore, send some polos over. I'll wear them on a regular basis. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of hour one before we transition to hour number two of the early line, and it is an opportunity for letting you know about another U.S. Open odds boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A couple of favorites today in Opelka and Korda, both to win round one matches from minus 120 to plus 110. A couple of favorites here, Donnie, to get the job done.
I'm already in on Novak Djokovic, so I am well invested here in some FanDuel odds boost here for the U.S. Open. I got to tell you, Opelka, Kevin, if anybody doesn't know about this guy, turned pro in 2015, as Kevin liked to say, probably helped him out a little bit there getting along the way. But keep in mind,
it's true.
You might find this guy actually doubling down. He's from Palm Coast, Florida, maybe on the Miami Heat, maybe on the Orlando Magic. Why, Kevin? 6'11".
He is 6'11" tennis player. That's amazing stuff here. Just for that alone, I'm taking this odds boost here where they're both going to get their round one matches. 63-62 in his career in singles. That gives me a better than 50-50 chance here, Kevin, at cashing in on him moving on as well. But 6'11", I got to go. You can't deny this man, can you? What does he do, Kevin? If he puts two rackets in, does he cover the entire court and doesn't have to move with the wingspan? Yeah. Holy cow.
I like the idea that this is basically the equivalent of like Boban Marjanovic playing out there at the U.S. Open, just bing, bing, bing. I think that would be tremendous action. And just to let people know, Opelka is a minus 320 favorite and Korda is a minus 250 favorite. So you certainly have a couple of guys who are slated to get the job done in their respective matches. 3 p.m. Eastern time, Korda is supposed to take the court. And then Opelka checking in at around 11 a.m. Eastern time there. So a couple of good options for the U.S. Open. The FanDuel Sportsbook delivering on some great odds boosts already throughout this tournament. And I am sure that will continue to be the case. Up next, though, on the early line, we take a look at the Major League Baseball board that was from yesterday, the updated wild card standings, as there was a massive result for the St. Louis Cardinals. Is that team still alive? No, but I get to ask Donnie about it next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.